A couple of you might be kind of new for what we're doing on Thursday nights. Let me just bring you up to speed. We are spending 6 weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. And in fact, we're calling the series the Holy Spirit Laboratory because we're kind of experimenting a little bit. We're kind of, not because we don't know what we're doing, but I want you to understand that you have permission to grow and to stumble and to trip and to make mistakes and to grow and to experiment with these things. Sometimes we have the idea that everything in the Christian life has to be instantaneous and that somehow, you know, I'm baptized in the Spirit and suddenly I can stand up and preach for Pastor Rich, you know, on Sunday morning. And God bless you if you can. I'd like to find out who you are so when I go on vacation, I'll line you up. But frankly, to tell you the truth, doesn't always work that way. There's room for us to grow. And so that's kind of what we're trying to focus on this summer. So what we've talked about, the first week we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We talked about the fact that He is a person. He's not an it. He's not the force. Use the force, Luke. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not some impersonal thing. It's a He. It's a He. There, I just reinforced that, didn't it? He is a He. And in fact, He is God. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The second week, last week, we talked a little bit about what He's like. Not extensive, because I've looked over some of my past notes. I've gone for like 24 weeks straight teaching on the Holy Spirit. So for us to squeeze it all into 6 weeks, we're not even scratching the surface. This is a huge topic. But we talked a little bit about what He's like. We talked about how He points to Jesus. And in fact, that's kind of an important thing that when you're trying to figure out, is this the Holy Spirit or not? When you're in a situation, is this the Holy Spirit or not? When I'm in some churches, is this the Holy Spirit or not? Big issue is Jesus being pointed to? Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to glorify Jesus. He wants to point to Jesus. We talked about how He's the paraclete, not the parakeet. He's the parakletos, which means one who is called alongside to help. We talked a little bit about that last week, about he's here for a reason. He's here to help you. Jesus used to be the one in the disciples' lives to help them out with all kinds of stuff. Now the Holy Spirit wants to do those same kinds of things in your life. We talked about how He leads and guides and teaches. You know what? Let me ask this. Has anybody had you kind of wonder if maybe the Holy Spirit was leading you this week? We talked about and some of the ways that it's different with everybody. Don't listen to some of these stories and go, well, I didn't get that this week. You know, well, boo-hoo, poor is me. It didn't happen to me. Look, one of the principles in 1 Corinthians 12 about the work of the Holy Spirit is that there's different gifts, varieties of gifts, and each gift He works in different ways in different people's lives. So be careful that you don't pattern what happens in somebody else's life to what happens in you. What's exciting is that He's working. And keep your eyes open. Stay available. That's what we've been talking about, staying available, staying yielded to Him. In fact, that was one of the... Where did I stick that? Was that in Pastor to Person or something? Or somewhere I talked about the fear of God and about yielding to Him. That's just been something that's on my heart about how this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to yield, to say, yes, Lord, You have permission. Yes, You can do whatever You want. So stay open to what He wants to do. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in prayer. I actually had a couple other things I was going to do, but then I remembered last week how we ran out of time and didn't have quite as much time for our laboratory as I wanted. And so we're going to make, I've cut this just down to one topic we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about prayer, and I've got two subsections if you're taking notes. The first subsection is prayer in the Spirit. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We want to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. So I want you to look that up in your scripture. I'll stick it up on the screen, but it's only going to be up for a second, and you need to be able to see it for a bit. I need you to see this in your Bible. You may want to underline some stuff. Praying in the Spirit. Talk about praying in the Spirit and praying with the mind is my two subtopics. So first I'm going to talk about praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26, Paul writes this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. A couple of ideas from this. First, he mentions that we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The real goal in prayer is not getting God to be your magic genie. Some people kind of have that little idea. They think that prayer is all about, you know, I give God my gimme, gimme, gimme list, and He's got to do it. You know, and if I'm nice and not naughty, you know, He's going to check the list twice, and if I'm not, you know, naughty, not nice, or whatever, that, however that Santa Claus, He's not Santa Claus. He's not your genie. He is God. And the purpose of prayer is not you getting your stuff. The purpose of prayer is like Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. I need to learn to pray according to God's will. That's what John says in 1 John 5. And if I learn to pray according to God's will, then God will respond. God will work. And so the real trick, if you will, about prayer, it's learning to pray according to God's will. It's about God shaping me, not getting my stuff. And so, and the fact is, we don't know how to pray. Because we kind of sometimes, does anybody in here sometimes not know what God's will is? You're with me, okay? Sometimes I just don't know what His will is. Some things are very clear. Some things are like, I don't know. Do I get the black jacket or the white jacket? I don't know. I don't know of any Bible verses that say you get the black jacket or something. I don't know. So which one is, you know, and we don't know how to pray as we ought. In his book, Maverick, Ricardo Semler tells a lesson he learned working at a place called Semco. He says this: we were in yet another meeting when we came to the purchase of $50,000 worth of file cabinets. That's a lot of file cabinets. Several departments had been waiting months for the cabinets and in desperation had decided to pool their requests. So, you know, this big company, they all say, we all need file cabinets. He says, we didn't buy a single new file cabinet that day. Instead, we decided to stop the company for a day and a half, or for half a day, and hold the first biannual Semco file inspection and clean out. Our instructions were simple. We told everyone to look inside every folder and purge every non-essential piece of paper. And Mr. Semler writes this. He says, I was one of the company's biggest file hogs, with four large cabinets and a request for two more. After our cleanup, I trimmed down to a single cabinet, and that was pretty much how it went throughout the company. The cleanup went so well that when everyone was finished, Semco had auctioned off dozens of unneeded file cabinets. Sometimes we think what we need isn't what we really need. And so that's part of what prayer is about, is trying to figure out what is it that you want to give me. And so sometimes you're going to be convinced that this is the thing. This is the woman. I want this woman. And God says, please don't want that woman. Or I want this job, or I want this car. And God says, I don't know that that's... And sometimes I say, I want this. And God says, yes. Part of the process of prayer is us figuring out what this is all about. Well, the Holy Spirit already has it figured out. We don't know what to pray for, but He does. And so the more we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives, the more we start getting a clue to how God wants to work in our lives. He says, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself, it says in verse 26, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He makes intercession. The fascinating thing about this word, makes intercession. The Greek word is Huper entum cano. Isn't that fascinating? Aren't you just totally fascinated? I was totally fascinated because that's like a really, really long Greek word. It's really, really, really long. In fact, it's really a Greek word with two extra words stuck on in the front of it, huper and in. And it's based on the word tunkano, which means to hit the mark of one discharging a javelin or an arrow. And so you take this word of hitting the bullseye and you add two extra words on it to make it like really, really, really hit the super duper bullseye shot. That's the word for how the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. You see, we don't have a clue what to ask for. But the Holy Spirit, when He prays for us, man, it's just kind of like, you know, this. Did I wake you up? Let's do that one more time, since now you're already awake. Here we go. Let's do one more time. Robin Hood. That's kind of dark, isn't it? You know, I mean, who can make a shot like that? That's a Huper Entuncano shot. That's a split in the arrow right down the middle. That's like threading it through all the trees and everything and then hitting the bullseye right in the middle. That, isn't that exciting? That's how the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. You and I are clueless. He is not. It's kind of like, I think, I'm not like the total expert when it comes to aircraft bombing techniques, but I kind of got the feeling that prior to 1990, that pretty much the standard practice with aircraft bombing was like carpet bombing, you know, just dropping a whole lot of bombs. Isn't that kind of what they used to do, like in Nam and stuff? They used to just drop a lot of bombs, you know, just like boom, 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 boom. That's how they got rid of, that's how they hit targets, was just drop a lot of them on there. But do you remember in 1990? And any of you, some of you weren't even born back then. But some of us, I remember these movies like this. This is an Iraqi tank being observed by the bomb, and they just put the little target thing on it, and then the bomb finds it. I mean, do you remember that kind of stuff? Smart bombs. That's how the Holy Spirit prays. He knows how to pray. It says, verse 27, it says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What Paul is saying is this: the Father is the one who searches the hearts. And he and the Holy Spirit, they're like pretty close. So he like knows what the Holy Spirit's trying to pray. He gets it. And so it says, because the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. A fellow named William Hendrickson, he tells a story about a pastor who became very ill. And the congregation dearly loved this pastor, and they prayed. They prayed and they said, "Lord, please restore him to health." And they prayed and they prayed, and he died. At the funeral, a friend of the pastor did the message. And this fellow was a pastor. And he spoke lovingly and he said, "Perhaps some of you are in danger of arriving at the conclusion that the Heavenly Father does not hear prayer. He does indeed hear prayer. But in this case, two prayers may have been opposing each other. You were praying, 'Oh God, spare his life, for we need him so badly.' The Spirit's groaning was, 'Take him away, for the congregation is leaning too heavily on him, not upon thee.' And the Father answered the prayer that the Spirit offered." The Spirit knows how to pray. We kind of sometimes don't. He says, back in verse 26, "The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." What's this groanings about? Let me give you some suggestions, some ideas, some theories. It might be that maybe he's talking about the Spirit himself groans. That could be what the language is talking about, that maybe somehow we're not even a part of this at all. Just the Holy Spirit himself is the one that's groaning, and the Father understands this. some have suggested that maybe that we should groan every once in a while. And that sometimes when you don't know what to pray, all you can go is, oh. I know some of you groan, you know, and so we just, maybe that's what he's talking about. Could be. That I'm open to that. Another suggestion that some have made over the years is that maybe he's talking about what we would call the gift of tongues. Something that's something that's you don't understand. The gift of tongues is an ability that the Holy Spirit will give to an individual to speak in a language that you've never learned before. Now, how many of you speak Spanish? I love you. God bless you. But, you know, Carlos, if you started praying in Spanish, it's not tongues. Now, it's tongues to me because I don't know what you're saying. But it's not to you because you do know what you're saying. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will give an ability to a person to speak in a language that they've never learned before. Now, do they know what they're saying? No. No, they don't. Is it possible that somebody else knows what they're saying? Well, probably. Certainly God knows what they're saying. Sometimes there will be other people present who know that language. I remember hearing is it Kay that speaks in French? Somebody down close to me said never took French, but they speak in like old French or something. And somebody once heard them praying and said this is what they're saying. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples spoke in tongues, and the people present heard them. And the people present were from all around the world, and they each heard them speaking in their own language the wonderful mysteries of God. These guys were giving praise to God. The gift of tongues, we're told in Corinthians, are words that are addressed to God. It might be prayer, it might be praise. It might be an intercession, a praying for other people. When used publicly, when used in a service like this, if someone were to speak in tongues, Paul says there needs to be someone with the accompanying gift called the interpretation of tongues. Now, some of you are beginning to think, this guy is really wacko. I think this is the last time I come to this church. Okay, that's okay. The gift of interpretation of tongues is the flip side of it. You don't necessarily know what the language is, but as the person speaks, God gives you the understanding of what they're saying. Paul says that if there's no gift of interpretation available, then if you have the gift of tongues, then you can still use it in church, but to use it quietly and to speak it to yourself, just to whisper it to between you and God. Paul speaks of tongues as a way of praying. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about tongues all through 1 Corinthians 14 as praying in the Spirit. So this is one way that the Holy Spirit may want to work in your life. Talk about praying in the Spirit. Let's talk about praying with the mind. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter... Oh, I've got that wrong. It's 14, verses 15 and 19. Sorry, I typed it wrong this afternoon. It's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 to 19. Now, Paul is talking all about praying with the Spirit, the need for praying with interpretation. And he says, what is the conclusion? This is 1 Corinthians 14, 15. He says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding, or with the mind. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, and in context, he's talking about speaking in tongues. He says, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. So if we had a service and somebody stands up and speaks in tongues and there's no interpretation and nobody knows what you're saying, well, in fact, later on, Paul will say, some people think that you're just nuts. You know, and I might even agree with them. No. Verse 17, for indeed you give thanks well. In other words, it's a good way to give thanks through tongues. That's an acceptable, it's a good way to give thanks. You give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. That's a little, just Paul, a little kind of boasting a little bit there. It's like, well, great, thanks. Thanks for making me feel terrible, you know. No, tongues is a good thing. It's a good thing. He says, yet in the church, when we are together, he says, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. To do it with my understanding. So in a group setting, it's a good thing to pray with your mind. To pray, if we're praying out loud, to pray in a way where other people can understand and agree with you. That's a good thing, Paul says. A couple of suggestions of what it means to pray with your mind. Number one, ask for what you want. I just made a big point about saying God's not your genie. But let me balance this. It's a good thing to express to God what you think, what you feel. This is exactly what Jesus did in the garden. When he prayed, it says he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, what does he mean by this cup? What does he want to skip? Huh? Crucifixion. What? Right. His death. His going to the cross. It kind of sounds like part of Jesus wasn't real excited about dying on the cross. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand this. He did this willingly. And he did this because he loved you. But it wasn't like a, you know, hop, skip, oh boy, I get to die on the cross today. No. Here you see his humanness peeking out, saying, you know, Papa, is there any way we could, like, I don't remember. Was there a plan B? Could we do a plan B with this? So what is Jesus doing? He's setting an example for you. See, part of the process of prayer is not always having it all figured out. Because sometimes you don't. Sometimes when we're praying for people to be healed, which we will do a lot. We do a lot of that. I have to be honest with you. I do not believe that the Scripture teaches that everyone is going to be healed every time. I think that's a dangerous doctrine that wounds and hurts people tremendously. And it makes people live in a fantasy land. I've seen people who I've claimed my healing. I don't have a cold. Praise God. I remember Kenneth Copeland, 30, 40 years ago, being on the radio, you know, coughing and hacking and saying, well, praise God. I'm not going to give Satan the glory. I'm healed by faith. No, buddy, you got a cold. Look, call things as they are. Live in reality. Live in the truth. It's not. Some people are not healed. It's okay to ask for it. Absolutely. And so sometimes when we're praying for people for healing, I will say something like this. I will say, Father, if it's possible, if this, we would really love for you to heal this person. That's a good thing to pray. Ask for what you want. That's part of using your mind. Are you with me? That's part of using your mind. Second thing you can do in praying with your mind is to learn to pray Scripture. There's a lot of cool things in the Bible, a lot of great promises, a lot of great prayers in the Scripture. It's good to know God's promises, to know what things God does promise. And sometimes the Spirit, as you're praying for people, will remind you of scriptures. Don't worry if you don't quote the scripture word for word and think, oh gosh, I'm going to goof up this scripture. Hey, you know what the principle is. Pray the principle. Who cares about getting the exact words right? That's the whole goal of studying the scriptures anyway. It's not to memorize the word for word. Here's a comma. And then, it's nice to do that, but you know what? Learn first the principles. Pray the principles. Pray for what God promises. From time to time, I like to copy some of Paul's prayers. Paul's like really good at praying. And when you read his letters, they tend to be at the beginning of his letters. Not all of them. Ephesians has one like in the middle. But like in Ephesians at the beginning, Colossians at the beginning, Philippians at the beginning. I think there's one in 1 Thessalonians. Read the beginnings of his letters, and you will trip on these prayers of Paul's. For example, why don't you look at Colossians chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles there. And you might want to keep that one open for a little bit later on tonight. I'm almost done, and so you might want to just keep this in mind, because this might be something you might want to try. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Paul says this. Now, I could, and I have, if you remember when we went through Colossians, I've done a whole Sunday on just these verses. This stuff is rich, this stuff is deep, awesome things in here. Paul says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask. And so what's he going to tell us? He's going to tell us what he asks God about. He's giving you his prayer. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may be worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There's some cool stuff in there. I mean, you could just take like one of those little phrases, and that would be a cool thing to pray over somebody sometime. We were just listening to a message with Brian and Cheryl Broderson talking about marriage. And Cheryl Broderson, Brian's wife, is also the daughter of Chuck and Kay Smith. She's their baby daughter. And she was sharing that Kay Smith prays that for Chuck every day, and has been. Was it every day that they've been married? I think she said she prays that prayer for Chuck. Now that's a good recommendation. That's like a almost like a little write yourself a little prescription. This could be a good thing to enhance your prayer life as you are praying with your mind. Third thing about praying with your mind is sometimes God wants to engage your mind and work through what I would call knowledge and prophecy. Or you could say word of knowledge and prophecy. What do I mean by that? Word of knowledge is a term used in the scriptures for a spiritual gift. One of the spiritual gifts where God will from time to time whisper something into somebody's ear about a person, a place, a thing. Sometimes you'll hear pastors say, things about, sometimes they'll just go off and ramble about something, and people will think they're talking about something, they will wonder, who told you about my life? I've had that a few times. I remember Chuck telling a story about talking about false prophets, and he just made up a story right there on the spot about some guy living down on Lido Island wearing white suits and taking pictures of himself with orphans and hitting everybody up for money. And the next day he got this call from this really, really mad guy who lived on Lido Island who wears white suits and is a missionary. And it's just like, where did that come from? We would call that a word of knowledge. Sometimes when you are praying for a person or praying over a person, sometimes God will put an idea in your head. It's possible that might be a word of knowledge. Now, how do you know? Well, you're not going to know it until you speak it up, until you stick your neck out and they go, "What an idiot you are. That's not true." Well, then, you know, okay, well, that wasn't from God, you know. But you never know till you try. Now, prophecy, some of you think prophecy is like telling the future. Sometimes that is involved. But technically, prophecy is speaking for God. That's what prophecy is about. God has something he wants to say to somebody. And he may give that message to you. That's prophecy. Again, you might be wrong about what this idea is or these thoughts are. It could be the tacos you had for dinner. Very well could be. Sometimes I will say things like, "I don't know if this is from God or not. But," and then I will say something. And that's simply because I don't know if this is from God or not. And I don't want to become someone who thinks that he's always speaking God's heart when he's not always sure. Because sometimes you just don't know. And I want you to learn to be responsible to test things. It scares me to death that because I'm a pastor, some of you take what I say a little bit too seriously. Does that ever scare you on Friday night with the college group? You know, sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I say the wrong things. And sometimes I'm incorrect about things. And if you ever study some of my notes when I'm teaching the same passage I taught 15, 20 years ago, you'll see that sometimes I change. You know, sometimes I think, "Ooh, boy, look what I taught then. Ooh, how terrible. Ooh." It's just because I'm grown. I'm learning. It's okay to say, "I think maybe God is saying." But I got to tell you, there are times where it is pounding in my heart so strong and so hard that I will, when we're praying for somebody, I will look at him in the face and I will say, "This is what God wants you to know." There are times when you absolutely know. There's times you don't know. Don't become a person who tries to fool people. Be real. Be honest. Now, is everybody going to have this? No. No, absolutely not. It's not something. Everybody doesn't get all the gifts. You've got to find out what your things are. You know how when we've been doing this thing where we take a little about like 5 minutes and we just wait in silence, right? And you notice how some people have some things to say and some of you are going, "Well, God, I didn't get anything." Well, that's because that might not be your thing yet. Don't feel bad about it. We all have our parts. Now, I think, am I done? Please be done. Okay. We want to learn to grow in prayer through Spirit, the way the Spirit wants to prompt us. We also want to learn to pray with our mind. Now, you got your cards?